Welcome to Friday. This is the end of Great Commission Congress Week, and I love it. Someone just said to me this morning, Happy Fri-yay. So, Fri-yay to you. And I see a large number of guests here. If you are visiting Asbury this morning, visiting Hughes for the first time, I know there's at least a few rows over here. If you would stand up wherever you are so we can welcome you, guests. All right. Can be seated. Thank you. We hope that you have a great day on campus. We ordered this weather for you today, and you are here during an amazing week. We've been focusing on the Great Commission across all of our chapels and each day this week, going and making disciples of all nations. Pray, give, go. On Monday, video helped remind us that 80% of the people persecuted in the world are Christians. And we had a chance on Monday to pray for the globe. There was this symphony of prayer, as Wes Griffin reminded us, because clasping the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. Will you engage the Great Commission through prayer? On Wednesday, the focus was give, a giving of your heart, your being, your life. Are you an answer to Jesus' prayer in Matthew chapter 9 when he said, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers. Will you engage the Great Commission through giving of yourself? And on this fifth and final day, the focus is on the go. Through chapel this morning, you'll have a chance to record how God has spoken to you this week. I think almost everyone has one of these cards that you should have received while you walk through the door. There's some of these cards in the back. If just stick your hand up a little bit if you don't have one of these cards, and somebody will come from the back to pass you one of these cards. I see a couple down here in the third row of sophomore section. And so if you don't have one of these cards, just nudge your hand up. Pray. Give, go, explore. There's many ways that you may have been challenged this week and that God may have nudged you. So as you have a chance to give these today, later in the spring semester, once we kind of round and start a new semester, we'll give you a reminder by sending these cards back to you and remind you what God did in your heart this week and how he challenged you to engage the Great Commission. On Tuesday, Wes Griffin and Matthew Ayuba shared about the current refugee crisis, and tonight many of you have the opportunity to continue participating in the Jewel Walk refugee camp that'll continue going on through tomorrow. On Wednesday, we had the Great Commission exposition. Many of you explored amazing opportunities with over 20 mission agencies serving around the world. And last night, more than 100 of you attended a healing service right here in Hughes as Joy Griffin shared her testimony of God's amazing healing in her life. This week has also been a chance for us to give financially. It's the only time during the year that as an entire campus we say, this is a direction that we want to give our financial resources. It is Adopt-A-Verse, an unreached people group in East Asia who do not yet have a complete translation of scripture in their own language. Money that we're raising will go towards translating the book of Galatians. And so your gift of $20 or more will cover the translation of at least one verse of the book of Galatians for this unreached people group. The verses are going quicker and quicker. So I'm going to give a few shout outs this morning to some verses that have gone. Thank you, Kresge Third East. No. They are working extra hours at Starbucks this morning to cover that gift. Kresge Third West, the Reef, are you here? Okay, we're going to see if there's a growing amount of excitement. How about Neverland, First Crawford? Yes. And the solo rep from the men's side of campus, Firehouse. All right. Friends in the merciful class. Yeah. If it wasn't all of you that signed up, some more of you can. And for you other classes, I want you to know there's also the Ransom class on there, and they're not even on campus anymore. So the challenge has been raised. The boards are right here in front of chapel this morning. You can give money or a check made out to Asbury to any of the campus ministry staff. Those boards will also be in Fletcher early if you want to come later to sign up for a verse and to give. We also sent out a link yesterday that you can give via credit card simply by clicking on that link and making your donation online. So today, the focus is on the go. Joy Griffin, some of you had a chance to get to know her last night. Wes has shared about their marriage together, them being parents together, them sharing in ministry together through the International Leadership Institute. She is a mom of two adult kids, and we're incredibly grateful for she and Wes being here across this week, for Matthew and Velma who shared with them. And let's share our thanks as Joy comes to speak this morning.
Everybody, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be at Asbury this morning, and I want to say thank you so much for praying for me and for the family of my friends this week, especially during the funeral time. Jesus really helped me, and it was just a difficult time, but the Lord came, and we're very grateful. So I knew I was being carried by y'all, and I'm so thankful. I know that you've had just an exciting week, and we're just so glad to be a part of that, talking about the Great Commission and all the different areas that Greg's just mentioned. And today, we're focusing on go, and I love the word go, because for me, it implies action and adventure and excitement. So this morning, I'm going to talk fast, because time is limited, and I don't want you to be bored in chapel, so I need you to listen fast. Can you do that? Yes? Good. Okay, so let's go. All right. Oh, I said go. I didn't mean to do that. I mean, I didn't know that was, that's good. That's what we're going to do. All right. I want to come to us this morning out of Romans chapter 10, three verses, 13, 14, and 15 I want to focus on. And it's a wonderful promise from the Lord, verse 13. And you're going to be really familiar with it. This is where he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yay, Jesus. Isn't that great? Everybody that calls on Jesus' name will be saved. So that's the very positive and the wonderful praise. But then the next verse gets a little negative, and there's a question there, because the word says, "But how can anybody call on him if they've never believed? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard? And how can they hear unless there's a preacher or a teacher? And how can there be someone teaching or preaching and telling them about Jesus unless they are sent by someone else?" And then he quotes the Old Testament. He says, "For as it is written in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of the gospel of peace." So this morning, I want to talk about our feet. And so I want you to look at your feet this morning. You can take your shoes off. No, I'm serious. Like, look at your feet. Don't look at mine. You're looking at me. Okay. Take your shoes off. It's good. Look at your feet. Do you think you have beautiful feet? Everybody look at your feet. I hear no. Sometimes we have to hold our nose because maybe you think, oh, they're not beautiful because they stink. Or maybe you've got a run in your stockings or a hole in your sock or something. Or maybe we look and say, oh, my toes are crooked, so I don't think my feet are beautiful. But Jesus says that our feet are beautiful if we're telling other people about him. And I think about the people who told me about Jesus. First of all, of course, my parents, and I did see their flesh. I got to see their feet and their toes. And they are beautiful to me because of them sharing about the love of Jesus with me. But then I think about other pastors and maybe professors, people that mentored me. And maybe they didn't have on the sandals, so I didn't see their actual flesh. But their feet are beautiful to me because I'm going to be in heaven someday instead of hell because of them, because they were willing to share Jesus with me. So that's what he means about having beautiful feet. And so this morning I want to just look at a few photos of some beautiful feet. Krista and Ethan are back there and helping us. Thank you so much. Oh, these are the most beautiful feet, aren't they? They represent, they're the reason that we want to have beautiful feet, representing baby Jesus' feet who poured himself out for us, for our salvation. We're so grateful. Okay, the next one. Oh, these are beautiful feet. These kind of make me think of runner's feet. This could probably be any of our feet if we stuck on our tennis shoes. But I think of these feet as being the feet of somebody pressing toward the mark, having swift feet to go and try to finish the task of letting the whole world know about Jesus. Okay, next. These are very beautiful feet to me. Let me tell you about these feet. This person doesn't even have shoes, but this is the feet of a brand new believer. It was a little man in a jungle in South America, in the Amazon jungle, and he had just asked Jesus in his heart. And he came up and was so excited, and he said, I have to go to the next village and tell my brothers what God has done in my heart and who Jesus is. So there's an example of beautiful feet. The next one. Those are really beautiful feet because they're feet of some people in a very persecuted place that I could not take a photo of their faces or their bodies. These actually happen to be in China, so there you can tell that mat is underneath. But I said, could you just put your feet there? And I'm going to ask brothers and sisters around the world to pray for you. But those are beautiful feet in a very difficult place where they're paying the price to share about Jesus. Next. That, for me, represents a very needy foot and maybe a hopeful foot, hoping that someone's going to come with beautiful feet to help them. Next. Another, just more need there is what I see. And one more. Now, there's the result of beautiful feet for those that were needy. These are actually the feet of some orphans. They happen to be AIDS orphans, and that means that their parents, their grandparents, aunts and uncles, literally, their entire family has been wiped out by AIDS. And so they're orphans and live on the street and before this time and didn't have shoes to wear. And actually some children and youth, very young people, much younger than us here at the college, at the university, raised money to try to help these orphans and bought shoes for them. And I want to just share with you, this was the testimony of one of these little boys. He said, thank you for making me feel like a child with parents. You cared about us, bought me clothes, and put shoes on my feet. So there's a result, a tangible result of having beautiful feet. I thought about the different ministries that Greg has mentioned and that you're involved in, even this evening, tomorrow with the day of service, the refugee simulation that's going to be happening to try to raise support for folks that are going to be going in December. Those are tangible examples of giving, as we've talked during the week, financially, to help people have beautiful feet. You're sending others to go. Now, all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Word of God, he says he's looking for somebody, someone to help him carry the burden of a lost world, that the world, so much of the world is lost and dying. And if he can find that one person or that university, that group of people, then the other people's circumstances will change. God says that. Because when he gets our heart, like we prayed about last night, then he can use our feet and make them beautiful. And God's looking for feet to use because the majority of the world is lost today. It's his world, and the majority is lost. I want to share with you this morning how God sees his world. Now, I know early in the week that you've heard some statistics of different unreached people groups, but let's just kind of boil it down to this. Today's November 4th, right, 2016. And so who knows? I know you all should know by now. What's the population of the planet? How many people live on planet Earth? 7 billion, a little over 7 billion with a B, 7 billion people. So this is how God sees his world. If we had a huge globe up here, about one-third of that world, about 2.5 billion people are Christians. They're believers like you and me. They are probably different color skin. They're different denominations, different languages, different cultures. But they're Christians. They're believers. Another one-third of the world right now, over just almost 2.5 billion people are people who have had access to the gospel. They've heard about Jesus, but for whatever reason, they've said, you know, I'm just not interested. Having access, and I know that you probably already know this week, but having access means that one of three things, at least one, you've got the Bible or part of God's word in your language, your mother tongue, so that you could understand it, or there's a church somewhere like in the vicinity, somewhere you could go to, any kind of church that you could go and say, hey, who is this God and what's church about? Or there's a Christian that they could get to find out who Jesus is. So that's that group of people are people that have access. But right now today, in our technologically very savvy world, still today, about 1/3 of God's world, over 2 billion people, have never ever heard the name of Jesus one time. Not once. They don't know that there's a Christmas coming up. They don't know that then we celebrate Easter. Never, ever heard the name of Jesus. In my brain, it's like I kind of divide it up like this. So I'm going to try to divide us up today. Okay, let's come over here. And let's just take the juniors and the freshmen up here in the balcony. You're going to represent the 1/3 of the world who are Christians. Okay, so I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And your response is, thank you, Jesus, because you're believers. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. That's sweet and good, but you're going to heaven, so you could be really excited. I mean, it's okay in this chapel to be like a shouting Methodist, okay? You can do better. Be excited about heaven. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's better. That's good. Okay, let's go. Okay, sophomores and freshmen up there in the balcony, let's let you represent the 1/3 of the world who's heard about Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've just said, I'm not interested. And I just want to tell you, some of these are far, far overseas, but I think some of them might even be our next door neighbors at home, or even somebody here in Wilmore that maybe I'm convicted, maybe they haven't seen Jesus' love in a way, even in me, shown to them, that makes them want to be a believer. But for whatever reason, they're saying, their answer is 1, 2, 3, no thank you, Jesus. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, good. I mean, it's not good, but it's kind of good that you weren't real excited because, you know, you really don't care, you know, in reality, okay? So now let the seniors and freshmen up here, you represent the 1/3 of the world that's never heard of Jesus. So 1, 2, 3, your response is, who is he? Who is Jesus? Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Who is he?
Who is he? Okay, so right now today, when God looks down at his world, what he's got going is here. 1/3 of his world is saying, thank you, Jesus. Another 1/3 is saying, and another 1/3 is saying, who is he? That's how God sees his world. And I want to tell you something that's very sad to me. It's a true statistic. In all that part of the world right now today, all the part of the world that's never heard his name one time, are you ready for this? It is possible for those people to go and buy a Coca-Cola. I mean, I think of the farthest places I've ever been, maybe in Africa or India. You might have to walk several days or ride a camel for a week, but it is possible to get to an old rusted Coca-Cola bottle cap or a sign that says, drink Coca-Cola. And of course, the Coke or the Sprite or Fanta, whatever Coke product it is, would not probably be cold. There wouldn't be electricity or even a generator, but it's possible for them to get to a Coca-Cola. So we are being very deceptive. We're lying to ourselves and maybe to others, especially those of us that are the believers, if we say it's not possible for us to get to them, because Coca-Cola has done it. And Coca-Cola did not do it for Jesus and because of the Great Commission. They've done it for the dollar. And I'm not saying they're not Christians in Coca-Cola Company, but it shames me. When I see a Coca-Cola now or a sign, you know, that's good. Hey, I like Coke products, so I'm not knocking that. But I'm convicted, and it makes me even more fierce in my passion to tell the world about Jesus, because I know that those folks don't know about him yet. But so that's how God sees the world. So 2/3 of God's world needs beautiful feet to come and tell them. So Jesus needs beautiful feet to walk across the hall in the dorm. Today, tomorrow, and across campus, he needs beautiful feet to walk to the next cubicle at work. He needs beautiful feet to walk across the ball field sharing with somebody. He needs beautiful feet in this community right here in Wilmore in Jessamine County. And he needs beautiful feet in remote places of the planet. They need someone to tell them the good news and the hope about Jesus. Now, I want to just try to tell you this morning, I hope I'm going to have time to tell a couple of stories about examples of beautiful feet that I've seen in different parts of the world. The first is we're going to go over to Africa in the country of Kenya, and in the very northwestern portion of Kenya, there's an unreached people group called the Turkana people. Pray for the Turkana people. Now, it's so far away. It's on the Ethiopian-Sudan border in the northwestern corner. And they're a tribe of people that all the other tribes in the country of Kenya, the same country, are afraid of. They fear the Turkana. So people who live down in Nairobi in the big, big city speak a different language. They're from a different tribe. And so they don't want to go to Turkana, but because the Turkanas are known as spearers. They spear people and kill them. It's very hot. It's desert territory in the Turkana land. And so really the only animals that are there are camels, and the camels are dying. There's famine and drought. People are usually sometimes totally not clothed at all or just half clothed. But women especially, the women are the ones who walk for miles every day. Sometimes more than one day, to try to get to a place and dig down in the dirt far enough to try to get to some water and then carry something that's maybe the size of a quart jar or a gallon jar, you know, just a jug with dirty water, to then walk all those many miles and hours back to try to let their children have something to drink. And so people are dying rapidly because of that. There are not houses there. They're just little huts, and the hut has nothing in it. It's literally just some sticks put together to cover them, maybe 5 feet in diameter, to cover their bodies from the sun or to try to cover like that. So it's just about 120 degrees all the time. I mean, it is hot, hot territory. But there were 27 folks who really read the word, Christians, who said, Jesus says for us to go stay not just right here in Jerusalem and go to Judea a little bit further out in Samaria, but to go to the ends of the earth. And for them, the Turkana people are like the ends of the earth, completely foreign to them. But they were willing to go and have beautiful feet and say, we're just available, Jesus. We don't know what that means, but we want to help our brothers and sisters who live there. So I went and was able to be teaching them. I was just under a thatched hut. There's no electricity. Can't use a PowerPoint or any of the things that you would normally use. But the people were trying to write notes as fast as they could and trying to learn. And in the middle of the week, they came and said, hey, will you come and preach a crusade? Will you come and share your testimony? And so I didn't know what that meant, but I said, okay. But a crusade meant that just it was out in the open, because again, there's not trees around, so it's just as far as you can see, just dirt. And I just still in my brain don't understand where the people came from, but hundreds of people just showed up at the time that it was supposed to happen one evening. And it's still very hot outside, and so the people put together a little platform, just a couple of steps, rickety steps to a little platform. So I was just, you know, a few feet up, maybe the height of our altar here, just to be, you know, have a little bit of space I could see the folks. And so just as I'm walking up those steps, my translator was my only English. And my translator said, Joy, I need to tell you what's happened. And I said, okay. And he said, over there and from here, let me think where we are. About as far as the road, about as far as from here to Lexington Avenue, the main street there, it was very obvious. There was a man that was screaming, very angry. That was clear. And there were a couple of hundred people around him. And he said, he's the mullah. He's the Muslim priest. And he's yelling at the people and saying, don't listen to her. This is war. We're going to take her out. And he said that to me just as I stand up there. And so, I couldn't ask him another question. I couldn't say anything back. And so just to be honest, for just a fraction of a moment, I thought, you know, I might not see Wes and Hannah and Caleb again on earth. I mean, that's possible. But the next thought in my mind, just a flash, was I thought about Mount Carmel. Do you remember the story about what happened at Mount Carmel? It was the gods of Baal, the gods that other people worship, the idol worshipers, versus like in a battle with our God and Elijah's God, the one true God. And I knew that it was just warfare. And in my brain, I said, God, would you just help me? That I normally say the Lord did this or God did something. I said, will you help me say Jesus? Because we talk about it and we sing, don't we? We look up on the screen and we sing these songs about Jesus' name and power in Jesus' name. And we preach it and teach it. But I'm just confessing to you, that particular moment, I don't think I've ever needed to appropriate it as much, because I was just saying, I really need you to help me. And I thought, but they're part of this world that's never, ever, ever heard his name. So I said, help me, let them just hear Jesus one time. And then if they do a spear or whatever they do, they will have heard Jesus, just his name. So But I began to talk, and believe it or not, I was talking really slow, and now, not like today, but I was going really, really slow, and just little baby sentences, and the translator, we're kicking in, and we're just being real simple, like we're talking to babies about Jesus. And then it was time for me to try to give an invitation, whatever that was going to mean. And out of the corner of my eye, guess what Jesus did? I could see that the moolah guy was walking away. And I don't know where to. I didn't see where he disappeared to. But I thought, Jesus has a chance. I was so excited. And those, you know, a couple of hundred folks meandered over to the big crowd where we were. And so I did give invitation. And our prayer that afternoon had been this with those 27. We had prayed and said, Jesus, please, we just ask for one soul. If just one person comes forward to receive you, that person could maybe try to penetrate the whole Turkana tribe. And we would be so, so grateful for that. And so the plan was that the folks that could speak Swahili were going to go and pray with them, because I was having to be translated from English into Swahili and then in Turkana. So for them, it would just be from Swahili into Turkana. So gave invitation, and not one came, but many, many, many people came. So many that it was almost like a just riot. I mean, they were just pushing forward, so much so that I really thought they didn't understand what I said. I thought, they don't know what they're doing. You know, I just really kind of thought that. But then people were weeping. Some were already joyous, and they're trying to push forward to get to whoever this Jesus is. And so I was down just going two at a time praying. I didn't know what else to do. Just put my hand on two people at a time. They probably couldn't understand me except in the spirit, because I didn't have a translator, but just praying for them to get saved or healed. So many, it's obvious they're very diseased because they don't have medicine there. So I was just going through the crowd, and I was probably about as far from the front as the back of Hughes here, back of the auditorium. And at that moment, there actually was something that I'd never experienced before, and it was a demon-possessed woman. And I know we read about that in the Bible, and you may have heard some stories, but that was a first for me. And she was banging into the dirt and growling like a deep, not even a man, but like a bear almost, eyes rolled back, foaming at the mouth, banging into the dirt. And you know, I'm so grateful for Asbury, to tell you the truth, because I mean, always, but I remembered a missions professor that had told stories about being in India and about dealing with demon-possessed people. I mean, really, it's just the Lord brought that back to my heart, and I remember him saying that they didn't know what to do except drop to their knees and just plead the blood of Jesus. We talk about it and pray about it and preach it, to plead Jesus's blood over her. And I don't know how much time happened, but that's what I was doing, and however long it took, suddenly I was aware she came up clear as a bell saying, keep roi Yesu, that means glory to Jesus, because see, if somebody's really demon-possessed, they're not going to be talking about Jesus because they don't know him yet. But she was so grateful because God set her free. I really saw deliverance happen. I witnessed that. I mean, it was a first for me, but I was there and saw Jesus do it. So I want you to know he still does it today. So I'm in the middle of that, and just as that's happening, back here where the little platform was, the people are cheering. They're hooting and hollering and having a, I mean, like you're cheering at a ball game, like, you know, for our Eagles, or for, if you were a Cubs fan the other night. You know, I mean, really so excited. And so so I was trying to make my way back through the crowd, and I saw what was happening. An old man walked up on that little platform by himself. And the reason people were cheering is, are you ready for this? This man had been blind for 20 years, completely blind. Everybody knew he was the blind man. And he was walking by himself. He gets up on the little platform. A young man stood up on the little stage and held his hand out. The old man, who used to be blind, reached out and grabbed it. That meant he could see it. So the people were cheering. Then the young man walks over, holds up his hand. The old man, who was blind, could see it, reached out, grabbed his hand. Everybody cheered. So I was able to get back up there, and I said, it's that Jesus that wants to live in our heart that I was just talking about, that loves you and that just healed this precious man. The God of Islam is empty. It's sterile. It does not produce. But our God is the strong one. And the people got so excited. You know how in the New Testament, when people came to see Jesus, there would be the crowds. Remember, that's why Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree, because he couldn't get to Jesus. There were so many people. So the word got out that Jesus had come to the Turkana people, whoever Jesus is. He's come. So the people went to their little huts and got everybody they knew that was any disease, like crippled, blind, any other disease, and brought them back that night expecting this Jesus to touch and heal them. And I want to tell you that Jesus did. I got to see a man threw down a crutch and started running around. Another blind woman was healed. God really did signs and wonders like I've never seen before. But I believe it was for a witness. I left this part out at the beginning, I'm realizing. The Turkana people is like 99 point whatever percent Muslim territory. And so it's very hardened to the gospel. But Jesus has a witness there now. And now the blind man, Kristen, if you could show us, there's a picture of the blind man. Look at those eyes. He's not blind anymore. It's amazing. And he's working in the village. And God now has a witness there. He's using his beautiful feet. But the reason that that happened is because those 27 were willing to have beautiful feet and go to a place that maybe was foreign to them, but they were willing. And then Jesus really honored their obedience to him. Isn't that glorious? And someday they're going to be Turkana people in heaven thanking them for having beautiful feet. And that's what we're talking about today and this whole week. It's big business. It's eternal business, the most significant business ever. Let me try to go very quickly to another part of the world, to China. In 1949, you know history, Mao Zedong took over and he formed the People's Republic of China and expelled all the Christian workers. They were forced out of the country. And so it's been difficult for us to know what's been happening, you know, especially in underground China. But we know that China has like 1.3 billion people. About a fifth of the planet, or even more than that, is in China today. And if you look geographically and look at the map, as I did before, I went to China for the first time, and look at the country and then see what borders China. There are 14 countries that touch China all around. If you take the population of those 14 and China, are you ready for this? That is 45% of the population of the planet today. Almost half of God's world is just right there. So it's a reason to pray for them. So let me tell you what happened. I was blessed to be able to go. The government thought I was coming to backpack on the Great Wall of China, and I did for some days so that I did what I said I was going to do. But my goal, my intention was to be able to try to meet with some underground church leaders, because you've got to be able to do it face-to-face, because if you do email or try to do phone calls, we could be writing back and forth to each other for 15 or 20 years, and then you might turn me in or I might turn you in. And not just me and my family are killed, but the entire Christian network, not just a church, but all the believers that people know, you know, can be destroyed. So it's really... they're persecuted there, so it's a real tricky situation. So I was so thankful that happened. Now, I'm in a taxi on my way to the airport by myself with the driver's name. I want you to know this name. His name is Ping, okay? P-I-N-G. You got it? Ping. Let me hear it. Ping. I want you to remember to pray for Ping. Ping's significant. Okay, so he could do a little English, just a little. So as we're driving, I thought, well, he could be a bad guy, and then I could be put in jail and never see my family again. But I thought he could also be part of the world that doesn't know about Jesus and hasn't heard. So I was trying to think, how can I get into the conversation? So I said, Ping, what do you believe? And he immediately answered and said, I don't believe anything. So that didn't help me, because it was just a quick answer. So then we're getting closer to the airport. I had to hurry. So I said, Ping, what do you believe is going to happen to you when you die? And immediately Ping responded. This is what he said. He said, oh, the government tells us that all Chinese go to the fire. To the fire. And I asked him three times, because of the accent, I wanted to make sure I had it. Goes to the fire. So I said, Ping, I don't want to be disrespectful to your government or to anybody, but I want to tell you that God loves us so much, and he's made it possible that you and I don't have to go to the fire. Ping's eyes got big, and I said, and he loves us so much, he sent his son Jesus to us, and he's one of that part of the world. That meant nothing to him. He's never heard the name of Jesus. I said, well, he loves us, and so he wrote it down in this book, you know, just like a love letter to us. Never heard of the word of God. So I said, Ping, Jesus says if you search for him with all your heart, you'll find him. And Ping says, okay, that's nice. I said, Ping, I'm going to pray for you. He said, thank you. He said, she. It means thank you. So I said, and when I get back to my country, I'm going to get this book and I'm going to send it to you and in your language. And Ping stopped me and said, no, it'll never get to me. The government stops everything. I'll never get it. And I said, well, Ping, I'm going to pray that it does. And I said, when it does, you read everything. But I wrote down the plan of salvation from the Gospels and New Testament. And I said, he stuck it in his pocket. I said, read this first and then read the rest of it. He said, she, but we had to stop because the officials were coming. So I got back to the States. I ordered a Bible. It came. I stuck it in the bottom of a big box. And then I went through our house and just got old newspapers, just trash, and filled it full, hoping that if the officials did open it, that they would just think it was trash. And then I did something I really thought was smart. I went to the local Chinese restaurant. Other people laughed at me. But I went to the Chinese restaurant, and I asked them to label it so it would look real Chinesey, you know, like little official. And see, don't you think that that's a smart move? I mean, I really thought that it was, because I don't know how to do the lines, and they don't know English. And So I did that, and it actually worked because the rest of the story is this. So I mailed it, and I prayed, and weeks passed and even some months, and I began to almost be sad thinking maybe it didn't get there. But in February, an envelope came, and it was like in code. It was very simple, but these are exact words. It said, "Dear Joy, I received the package. I am reading the book with great interest. I have many questions. Thank you, Ping." So do you know what my prayer has been? I mean, since that day, I've prayed for somebody with beautiful feet, for God to send somebody with beautiful feet into that taxi to share with Ping and to help him to understand the word and to invite him into a fellowship and for the Holy Spirit just to speak to him and reveal himself to him. This morning, I just want to close by saying what Ping reminds me of, he just represents millions of Chinese who have never heard and who need beautiful feet. But he also represents millions of people all around the world, and some of them are right here next door to us, who need beautiful feet to tell them the good news about Jesus. And so that's what this morning is about. Today's about our availability for Jesus to use our beautiful feet. It's saying that we're available to go, saying, "Here I am, Jesus, you can use me, I'm just available." So the question today is, can Jesus use your feet? Would you ask him how he wants to use your feet? I want you to look at your cards, and the band is going to come and play for us, but just be looking. We're going to have a concrete way to respond this morning, and Greg has already said this beautifully. You can see that under pray, you can check that box that you're going to faithfully pray for a local or an international ministry during this academic year, that you're going to pray for a missionary throughout the year. You can participate in the weekly What prayer services. If you would do that, please sign that. I want to tell you as a missionary, I want to say thank you for praying, because I want you to know that there are days when you're 10,000 miles away from home that you just, to be honest, say, "Jesus, I just want to go home. It's just too hard. I don't understand the language. I'm sick from the food. You know, nobody seems to be responded. I don't feel that we're safe." But then there's also days that you crawl in bed at night and you look at each other and just say, "Jesus, who prayed today?" Because even though we were working like crazy, it was nothing but the supernatural hand of God that came and did the miracles today. So please, please pray. Then giving financially to support a missionary ministry during this year, to then faithfully, giving is also giving of your time and talents for the Lord to be used intentionally in mission. And then, as Greg mentioned earlier, the Adopt-A-Verse program is another way to give this week. And then going, serving on an ongoing local outreach opportunity, and you committing a certain amount of hours, you fill that in, whatever Jesus tells you to do during this year, or to serve through a mission trip this academic year. It might be at spring break. It might be a summer ministry team. But there are opportunities and even more that you'll be able to find out about. And then I love this, explore. And the way you can explore is through taking a missions course here at the university so that you can better understand how what you're majoring in or the gifts God's given you, you might be able to use, and how God can use you in full-time missionary service. You might be saying, "I feel like Jesus is kind of calling me to that." And then another way to explore is see what's happening in the mission agencies that are right here in Wilmore. You can just walk across the roads to them so that you can say, "Hey, tell me about opportunities." And then, as Greg said, you sign that card, and then you're going to receive this back in SIPO later to remind you of the commitment that you've made. So right now, 60 seconds. I want you to just pray. The band's going to play, and I'm going to be watching the clock for a minute. I want you to fill out that card. As you're filling those out, I just want to say thank you for how heaven's going to be different for so many people because of the commitments that you're putting on those cards right now. it's no matter, it's important that no matter where God send us, if he'll give us his power and anointing. And so you don't have to be afraid of that. His spirit's already going before. He just wants us to say yes to him, to go. Okay, that's 60 seconds. We want to close this morning with just an invitation. If Jesus has spoken to you today or just during this week, during these days, and about going, on the go part of this card, and actually even it might even be that you already feel very called and convicted to foreign missionary service, but it also could be just going in some of these areas. We want to have a prayer of commitment together and here at the altar. And Chaplain Greg is going to ask Jesus to use our feet just in a corporate way. So if that's you, if you would just come right now, immediately, just come now to the altar. If you're willing to say, Jesus, I'm available to go. And I don't know what that means. It may be just here locally. It could be short term. It might even be that you already know that you're feeling called as a career missionary. But if you'll just come quickly, we're going to have a special prayer for us. I believe there's some significance for us to come to the altar. I was 13 years old the first time I ever saw a real life missionary that I was aware of. And that missionary said to all the people, they said, there's people in the world that have never heard about Jesus. And I'm just telling you, I thought the missionary was lying, because I just thought that can't be true, you know, because I live in America and I see churches, even though I know everybody's not Christians, but there's still a third of God's world that hasn't heard. And I'd just been a Christian a year, and I knew what that meant for me about heaven and hell. And I went to an altar. I know the invitation was probably for university students and older. It was for grown-ups like us. But I went as a 13-year-old and said, Jesus, I know I'm just a kid and I've got to grow up. And I've got parents in school. But when I get old enough, like ours at our ages, if there's still people that don't know about you, I would love to go and tell them, whatever that means. And it was a real commitment in my heart. And Jesus sealed that in my heart. And now look what he's letting me do. I'm just so grateful. He's fulfilled that desire that he put in my heart. And I believe that's him putting in our hearts that desire. So Greg's going to pray.
Let's pray together. God, those words in Romans, how can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And so, Father, for men and women here today who are saying, use me. God, for men and women kneeling at this altar who say, Father, let my life give praise to you to proclaim your name. God, we pray over them that they may be consecrated to make known among the nations, Lord Jesus, what you have done on the cross through your life and through your death and through your resurrection for us to have life. God, though we are jars of clay, we pray that in these jars of clay you would make known the all-surpassing power of God that can come to dwell in jars of clay. Father, that this power is from you and not from us, that your grace is sufficient, for your power is made perfect in weakness. God, we pray for the men and women at this altar and across this auditorium, that whether you are calling us to believers who have heard the word and that need to be built up in the word, or whether or not you're calling us to those who have resisted, that live in places where the gospel has heard, or if you're calling us to the place where there is no voice, may your Holy Spirit lead and fill and empower and direct. And God, if it's to refugees that have been scattered across Europe and other places to escape where they've been uprooted, lead us. Lord, for these men and women who they heard on Monday about simply being millennials, they are part of a generation that is very little reached. God, give them beautiful feet. It is for freedom that you have set us free, God. So thank you for the opportunity to be ambassadors. Come, Lord Jesus, and answer their prayers. We pray in your all-powerful and almighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.